Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Music Podcast. This is our Michigan Monday edition, volume Mish 26, episode number 15. Our drop date is Monday, July 13th, 2026, and we are coming to you from the Detroit Shirt Company studio. Make sure you get out there and see Jim and all of his team for your branded clothing and marketing materials needs. DetroitShirt.com. My name is C. Willie. I'm your host for tonight, joined by the lovely and talented
Quarter Peep. And guess who we have this week? Hand of Giants. Amazing. They're from Big Rapids, Michigan. Give it up.
Woo-hoo! We are so excited to have Michael Kreppel from the band here. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's wonderful. It's great to be here.
Well, we've been excited about this, and you've got some tremendous e-marketing going on out there. Some great things happening, and I know we're going to touch on a couple of very interesting stories, but the band's sound is really described as southern and northern rock. You kind of have a high energy sound. Tell us how that mixes.
Well, hopefully really well. The blue collar aspect of Michigan to me is like such a, like I grew up here and left and spent 33 years in the Los Angeles area. So I was born and raised in Michigan, but my DNA is California. I feel like coming back here, I really had a nice eye-opening experience on getting back to like not Hollywood, not Southern California, and like people are all about work ethic, and I feel like that kind of is to be interpreted with our songs. They have muscle. They're melodic. I try to write lyrics that mean something, and can be taken multiple ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really just comes down to, I want the experience of the band to be positive, not a negative experience.
Yeah. Well, and we'll talk a little bit more too, into this, how you involve your fans, which is really cool.
Yeah, because yeah. I want that t-shirt.
Yes.
Hey, okay. Great.
Well, you know.
But we were doing some reading in our research, and I found this incredibly interesting. The band was actually born of a desire to heal and recover from cancer.
Yes.
I can't recall seeing anything like that with anybody else that we've spoken to. Tell us what that is all about.
First of all, thank you for asking, because I think it's important to tell the story for other people to hear, and that, you know, there are other sides to really intense and hard and life-changing circumstances. You know, we all have been touched by cancer in some form, mm-hmm. whether it's a family member or yourself or a colleague. So I was diagnosed with blood cancer in 2010. And at the time I was fighting in mixed martial arts. So I was very, very much in shape and very much like head health. You know, my mental health was great. I found the tumor in my abdomen, and really our life just kind of got dumped out on its head. Everything changed. That's a whole story in itself. Fast forward to 2014, I had a clean bill of health for a couple of years. Every single day was a challenge to not be fearful and to not have the looming death talk in my brain, you know? And so I talked to my amazing wife and partner about this idea. I said, I asked my wife, I'm like, I am sick and tired of this shit. We need something to bookend that journey. Because the diagnosis, of course, was the beginning of it. And so having something to like mean something enough to feel like, okay, this is going to be the end of that fear. I'd been a musician. I've been a recording engineer and a producer and all of that for a long time. And it just was like, why not? Let's make some fresh new music. Let's do something that's going to be powerful and meaningful. We'll use the band as a fundraising tool. And it would, at that point, it was born as in maybe one or two gigs a year. And we would only do these high profile type gigs. And we did that, you know, for a while. And I had asked very close friends of mine from high school who are all still musicians, if they would be part of it. And of course they were just like, absolutely. Tell us when and where. So I bought studio time at River City Studios in Grand Rapids. And the first session I begged Roy, the owner, Roy Wallace, a wonderful human being, a very talented engineer and producer in his own right. I begged him to do the session with us because I knew he had a roster of talented engineers there. But I had asked Roy specifically, I'm like, I want you to do this. This is why, and so on. So he was like, absolutely. So the family, my wife and my son came here to visit family. And during that visit, I had 3 days in the studio. And so we recorded the songs, all totally bitching, you guys, all to tape. We recorded it all old school to tape. Like we were doing take after take and waiting for the machine to rewind. Yep. And, you know, getting, and when you hit play, it kind of gets up to speed. I mean, it was like the true blue recording experience. And I want that. And I wanted that version of Hand of Giants to be an experience machine. Everything to do with it. Do you remember that gig we played? Do you remember that recording session?
Yeah.
Wow, we raised a lot of money that night. You know, those types of things. So we recorded the first album. I took all of those tracks back to the Los Angeles area. And I layered guitar and I hired a B3 player and who's just now a wonderful, wonderful friend. That's really where it sort of festered from, was like that fear had to stop, because that makes people sick living that way, you know? And we were like really trying our best to like get through that thing. And the band really helped us.
I was just going to ask, did that do what you set out for? Did that get the feeling out of you?
Yeah. And only because I got to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The band was born. So I was talking about why I was doing it. And like that whole cathartic aspect was really the healing aspect. You know, of course it's killer to write rock and roll tunes and playing with your boys, you know, I mean, how cool is that? That's
well,
cool.
What a wonderful event has come from that. Yeah. And I'm certain, you know, you talked about raising money and doing the things that you're doing with that. I'm certain there've been a number of folks that you have helped.
Yes, we've been lucky. From our experience, my wife and I decided to start a nonprofit called Fighters for Life, the number four. It's no longer available publicly on the internet. It used to be .org and all that stuff, but we still help people pay their bills and get them groceries and gas cards. This is during my cancer journey, we needed help. Mm-hmm. And we reached out to a bunch of very well-known cancer organizations, and we didn't get anything. Mm. We got stickers and magnets is what we got. You know, we got wristbands, Cancer Fighter, and stuff like that, which was appreciated, but that was not paying my phone bill. That was late. You know, I didn't work during my cancer journey. So we were financially in some pretty serious situations. We made it through, but when we called for help, we didn't get any really. So it became our journey. And really, my wife did all of it. It was just my situation, our situation. She went through it, got it a 501c3, did the whole thing. And she kicks ass, man. She gets tens of thousands of dollars to families to get them through. You know, I mean, she's a bulldog. She's in the band and 5'2" stick of dynamite. You know,
oh, her and I can be friends.
I know one of those. I know one of those.
That's hey, great. Hey.
That is fantastic. And what an asset to be able to have her doing that for you and with you. Yeah. But the purpose and so forth behind that is absolutely wonderful. So congratulations
and
on that.
Thank you very much. She was the vehicle for me during my treatments. She got me to chemotherapy. She got me home from chemotherapy. She got me to radiation. She got me home from radiation. She put me in the bath when I needed to detox. She changed everything about our family to help me live. They told you guys, this is so crazy. I know this is about the band, but this is so nuts. So I was diagnosed, or I wasn't diagnosed yet, but I had found the tumor in my abdomen. A friend of ours was a physician's assistant. She called in a favor to get me to an imaging lab to get a CT scan. Went in, got it. Like for 4 hours, you guys, they were telling me, don't leave. You have to talk to the radiologist after he sees your prints and blah, 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 blah. Well, sure enough, and of course, you have to understand, I'll never forget this woman's name. Her name was Shirley. She was the nurse at the imaging center. She came out and she goes, you know, you guys, it's late. Why don't you guys go ahead and go on home and, you know, have a nice dinner and just, you know, we'll be in touch. So I turned and looked at Jackie, my wife, and I was like, well, okay. Yeah. So we got up and we're walking in the parking lot and I grabbed Jackie's hand. We're walking hand in hand to the car. And I say, either this is absolutely nothing. And she sent us home after telling us to wait for 4 hours. Or our life is about to get dumped upside down. Something's wrong. On our drive home, our friend that called in the favor for the image, for the CT scan, called and said, you guys need to come over right effing now.
Hmm.
Well, so we got over there to find out I had a tumor in my abdomen the size of a football.
Oh, my goodness.
And I mean, you guys, it was incredible. It's very sensational. It's just like, it seems like there's no way that this could have happened.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so there it was. And I went to Cedar Sinai. I crashed the emergency room because we didn't have health insurance at the time. And this gentleman by the name of David Ulick, but he was an emergency room doctor. I went to Cedars with my scans and I showed them my scans. And I said, my PA told me to bring these down here to come see you in the ER. I don't have insurance. So she took my scans and like 45 minutes later, the ER door opened up and he pointed at me and he called me over and he held up my envelope with the scans and he pointed at him, you know, are these yours? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, get over here. So I went over there and he looked at me. And now you guys, I have to tell this part of the story too. Stunning, good looking dude, like Batman, like Superman, Clark Kent. Like chiseled face, in shape, black hair. I mean, just great, great looking fella. He looks at me and he goes, I've looked at your scans. If I send you out of here, you'll be dead in 6 months.
Oh my.
I'm like, well, that took a turn.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
He looks at me and he goes, I'm going to tell you what to say to me so I can get you from that room into this room.
Oh.
I'm going to ask you, are you feeling nauseous? You're going to say, yes, I am. In fact, I vomited earlier, which is why I'm chewing gum right now. So he scripted this whole thing, you guys, and then got me into the ER, got me on a gurney. I'm laying there and he goes, okay, the next thing, you're feeling nauseous, so I need to give you a shot for the nausea. And I said, yes. Yeah. Do you have anything that you can give me for nausea? I feel like I'm about to vomit. And he goes, yes, 1 second. So he goes and he gets the shot. Boom. In less than 45 minutes of going into the ER, I'm on the fifth floor at Cedars-Sinai in oncology.
Oh, my.
Wow.
David Ulick to the rescue. I spent a week there. Yeah,
some good
absolutely.
People there.
He, walking angel, for sure.
Yeah.
Like he absolutely just stepped up to the plate, hit a grand slam every inning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm telling you this is because I spent a week there. They did biopsies. Didn't get anything back. It was 5 days that I was there. And Dr. Fink, who came in, who is the resident tending oncologist, he came in and he said, hey, you guys, clearly I'm not doing you any favors by keeping you here. My resting heart rate was 42. I was in amazing health, except for I was dying from cancer, you know? Yeah. So like there's this huge thing at play. And he goes, I'm going to send you home. I've got the discharge papers started, but I need to have a conversation with you. So, you know, for 5 days, we were getting hopeful and then let down and hopeful and let down. My wife climbs up on the bed with me. And so, you know, I'm got my arm around her. We're close. And he says, when you get home, I think you should probably get with your family and your loved ones.
Oh.
Because the size of the tumor, it was connected to my spine, my heart, my gallbladder, my pancreas, my lung. I mean, it was massive, you guys, and it was everywhere. And he said, we're not sure how much longer you have. So we left Cedars-Sinai on, I think it was August 21st.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I was in treatment on September 2nd. So it was just like, I went home, all that. And they got it going. And I got the call that it was a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, which is very common and very, very treatable. But they had said, we're going to go aggressive. You're big, strong, healthy, you know, I was 40 years old. So we're going to hit this thing with all we got. And so they did, and we did, and, you know, and here I am.
So did you ever have to have
16,
surgery?
Yeah. No, they couldn't.
Because it was, of how intense that was. Yeah.
Yeah. How connected and,
yeah.
You know, they called it common. It was like common in there because it was touching so many different things.
Yeah.
They couldn't go in and, we thought it was BS about the football, and it literally was the size of a football.
Jeez.
It was big. And when I laid down, it didn't have anywhere to go. So that's how I found it. I looked down and it was right after I fought July 10th. I got hurt, medically suspended. So four weeks go by, I get cleared. I go back to fight team training. The next morning, I look down and find my tumor.
Mm. Mm.
So clearly I fought July 10th with cancer. Didn't know it, you know,
right.
But
yeah.
Anyway. Hand of giants, baby.
You are here. What an amazing story, Michael. And thank you so much for sharing that. I know that somebody's going to listen to this and say, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Hopefully that can help or give somebody just enough drive to do the thing that you got
to
do. And that's what you do. You got
to
fight with everything, like
no
spiritual,
question.
Mental, physical, the whole thing. You got to just go to war, you know?
No question. Well, and the first one that we've got queued up from Hand of Giants is what you did. You got back home.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Get Back Very Home. Good. Tell us a little of the backstory on this song.
That is an interesting conversation because I feel like a little bit of a Debbie Downer on this lyrically, but really what the whole point of it is like the spiritual aspect of church.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lyric in there, Sunday morning service doesn't mean you're part of the team. Excuse me. And what I mean literally by that is just because you go to church does not mean that you're going to get back home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
You got to work the program. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
Stay positive.
And I'll tell you, I'm not in the program, but I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like I try to be the best person I can, the most positive, resourceful and helpful and all of that and encouraging and inspiring. And just sometimes I see certain people and it irks me. And so I just had to write about it, you know?
Yeah, I got gotcha.
You repeat the phrases that you read on the paper, on the page, you know? And I'm just like, okay, you know, you can go through the motions, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to get there, you know?
I am 100% with you. And hearing you share that, I can picture a number of those folks.
Yeah, cool. Well, now when you hear the lyrics of the song, you'll be it like, I got you.
Got it.
That person.
Yeah.
All right. Let's give this one a listen. Great. This is Hand of Giants, Get Back Home.
Days I walk the line of shame.
Oh, yeah.
Get Back Home.
Yeah.
From Hand of Giants. And what a great what a great representation and a exposure that song
cool,
is.
Cool, man. Yeah, great.
I love it.
Great.
Love
it. I do want to tell you guys, my very dear friend, I love this man to death. His name is Buck Snow, and 7-time Grammy winner. He came to Michigan from Nashville, where he's based, to record a weekend with us. He recorded that. We recorded that live in the studio, and he chose to mix that song. So that's recorded and mixed by Buck Snow, 7-time Grammy winner.
Super.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Good
Gives
stuff.
It even a little more punch.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, we are with Michael Kreppel from Hand of Giants. We are going to take a quick break and hear a little something about the Detroit Shirt Company studio. We'll be back right after this.
The D, the Motor City, Motown. It's known by these and many other names, but no matter what you call it, the spirit of Detroit is legendary. Detroit has many traditions, from Bob Lowe Island, Farmer Jack, and the Detroit Coney, to iconic automotive brands like Dodge, Jeep, and Mopar. At Detroit Shirt Company, we're celebrating America's comeback city with apparel and accessories. We offer a full line of t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, jackets, hats, and other Detroit and Michigan apparel, as well as drinkware, coasters, stickers, and other merchandise. Whether you grew up here or you're a Motor City transplant, you'll find we have something for everyone at Detroit Shirt Company. Are you ready to show your local pride? www.detroitshirt.com.
Welcome back to the Vehicle City Sound Michigan Monday Music Podcast. We are with Michael Kreppel from Hand of Giants and just heard his amazing story of beating cancer and what his music and he and his wife's efforts are doing to help others. It is fantastic. I'm anxious to share that because I know it's going to touch a number of folks.
Well, thank you for the platform. Seriously, it's just awesome. It's great.
Absolutely. Your band has done some pretty interesting things with the fans as well. And it came across hog sightings.
Yeah, man.
And just absolutely love it. Would you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. And part of that little spinoff is when we kind of address what hog sightings is kind of like the street team in some sort of boutique sort of way, is like, come to a show and get hogtied. You know what I mean? It's like all of those little sort of gimmicks. People love it. And I love it. And hog sightings is a great way for people to wear our merch, old, and we just got a bunch of new stuff. And it's a great way to feature the fans. And, you know, it has worked to help spread word. You know, one of the shirts just straight up says hog across the front, and people very often go, what does that mean? Yeah. You know, and then it's a conversation. So it's great. You know, is it Harley Owners Group? No. It's a band, you know? And so that has started some good conversations. Yeah.
It's a terrific way to get the fans involved. It's a great marketing piece. Yeah. And you got to know, because you've got a whole series of pictures on the website that we were looking at, and say it's got to be fun. Some people just putting a hat on a tree stump and say, hey, look, little hog sighting. I just thought that was phenomenal. Great deal.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad you like it.
You know, one of the other things that we touched on, because the band, you mentioned your roots in California, the band is national. You guys are all over the place. It's not just a Michigan piece here, but you've got some tie with Netflix. Tell us a little bit about that. Some pretty heady stuff there.
Yeah, we were lucky. My professional career is I mix movies for a living, movies and television and records. So out of, you know, being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And maybe you guys can help me remember, but I think COVID happened and there was, I forget what it was, but we ended up in a, featured in a movie called A California Christmas. which was number one on Netflix. And, you know, it spent, I don't know, like 8 weeks doing something, you know? Yeah, and, that was a really, really fantastic deal. I actually, I've got to confess that I mixed that movie, which is why we were able to get, we got four songs in that movie.
That's super. That is just
which
super.
Which was great. And one of them was featured, or actually, I'm sorry, two of them was featured, were featured. Our single, What You Want, What You Get, is featured like, Josh puts his earbuds in and it goes full range. Like we're in his world. It is so cool to see your stuff on the movie screen. I mean, it's just really great. Yeah. And we, I mean, we've got, recently this year, we licensed a song called The Lonely Words, in another movie that is the story of, and this is unreleased. So you're getting the inside scoop on an unreleased movie. The movie's called Last 7 Days, and it's the story of a veteran who's documenting what he's calling the last 7 days of his life before he ends it. And so you go on this insane ride emotionally with this guy. He's socially awkward. He's estranged from his father. All of these things come up, and you know, I did some work on that. But I had written the song called The Lonely Words, and it's about that. And it's about, you guys, let's see if I can remember my own lyrics. and right now I can't, but I got my lyric book right here. But it tied right in. And so I was like, as I was finishing my work on it, I pitched the director. I said, Ricky, and I've never done this either. I never pitched. They've always come to me and said, hey, would you want your song in a movie? And I'm like, hell yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I emailed him and I said, dude, I've got a song for you. I think it would be perfect to put the point on the exclamation of your movie to have this song play through the credits. I sent it to him. He loved it. I sent him the lyrics, and it was, early in the morning, son, he's thinking today's the day. It's been on his mind for some time. He's been trying to forget. Damn it.
Close.
I almost had it. But anyway, so yeah, we licensed a song that way too, which was really, super, really great. Yeah.
Oh, some great things that the band has going on. It's awesome. And what a unique story the band has to tell.
Yeah.
The next one that we've got queued up is We All Need. Tell us a little bit about this one.
This one was the very first song that the lineup that exists as now, we all did together. I had basically the chord progression, the din-in, din-in, din-in. I just had that. And all of a sudden, like when I'm writing, if I come up with a chord thing that inspires melody, I know that I need to at least record it on my phone so I can go back to it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
As I was playing, lyric ideas started formulating. So I was like writing and just da da da. I wish I could take you guys to my music room next door, but you've seen it on the website. If you've seen us in the studio, that's my studio. So we all need a little forgiveness to set us free. The chorus, we all need a little something so we can see.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, I try my damnedest to make it so that when you listen to a song of Hand of Giants, it is not going to bum you out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to lift you up and make you feel like doing that thing you've been putting off or, you know, one of those things. It's just, that is just my underlying, intention.
It's inspiration.
Yeah. Let's rock.
Let's give this one a listen. Hand of Giants, We All Need. We All Need from Hand of Giants. Great tune, right. Michael. Great tune.
Thank you so much. And right when it started, I wanted to remember to tell you the verse lyrics are based on when that song came to life. Somebody lost their career on the internet. Like they said something and like a group of people attacked them.
Mm-hmm.
And they then were fired from their job because they said something. So you got to watch what you say. You can't stop it when the hammer falls.
Yeah.
The world ain't spinning on a promise. It's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Nothing like your whole career can be ruined.
Yeah.
Because something that you said 25 years ago. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, we all need a little mercy, a little forgiveness, you know?
Entirely possible that may have been some of the group that we won't see when we get back home that started that movement too.
Woo, that was great.
I'm good for one of those every now and then, Michael. Hey, I know there are a number of people that are hearing Hand of Giants for the first time with this program. Where do they find you, Michael?
We're at handofgiants.com.
All right.
And that's our website. You can find us on Facebook, Hand of Giants, and Instagram is Hand of Giants Official.
Okay.
And of course we're on Bandcamp, and we have some of our older releases. Actually, We All Need's on Spotify, but we're boycotting Spotify just because of some of the horrendous dividends that they don't pay. So I'm sure you guys are very aware of all of the AI stuff, and we're just trying to separate from all the, and there's AI record labels representing AI bands, doing that whole thing. It's just scary stuff.
We wholeheartedly are in your camp with that. That's something that we will not do on this program. So,
yeah,
the last one that we've got here is a real rocker, Red, White, and Blood. Tell us a little bit about this.
This one, I like telling this story too. This is the riff came, and I, you've heard that 100,000 times somewhere. Right. So I was thinking, you know what? That's a little too vanilla. And I take it to our bass player. And I need to shout out to the band too. Zach Potter on bass, Bud Greenman on fiddle, Chris Jane on percussion, Randy Curioso on keyboards, Brian Arnold on drums, Paul Quant on guitar, Jackie Kreppel on vocals, and myself. When we get together, it's magic. I mean, it's just like all fireworks, all lightning bolts, all tasers and lasers and phasers, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted a patriotic song that wasn't "You're Wrong, I'm Right."
Yeah.
I wanted a patriotic song that was, I can identify with that. I am, whether you're a conservative or a liberal or, you know, anywhere in the middle, if there is a middle anymore, whatever, you know, I mean, just all of the conditions that you could be, you still absolutely can love your country and want the best for it and, you know, do your job in the community, you know, that sort of thing. I fly an American flag on my property here. I love the United States of America.
Yes, sir.
And, it to me, my father's a vet. And luckily, he's still alive. He didn't have to fight because he was a sole surviving son. His father had gone missing during the Korean War. And so he did serve in the army, but he didn't have to go to Vietnam. So, I really admire that about him. I admire the people that serve our country and that pay the ultimate cost.
Yeah.
This song is like for all of that. You know, and musically, we wanted to incorporate kind of a jammy sort of feel on the intro and just let it percolate and turn into this really cool, like, hypnotic flow, and then all of a sudden the piano locks in this cool melody, and you're like, oh shit, that's dope, man. Yeah. And then when the song lands in the riff, and you're just like, you know, your face catches on fire.
Yeah.
And then the lyrics come in, and I wanted it to be intentionally, I wanted it to have that megaphone effect as I'm shouting about this for America.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the long version of This Song Rocks.
Well, we love it. It's going to have a little extra meaning too. You were talking about thanking our vets. Quarter Peep is a Marine. So, former Marine.
Thank you so much.
This will have a little more meaning in our household as well. Red, White, and Blood from Hand of Giants.
American.
I feel like there should be a salute.
I know.
Right there, you know? Red, White, and Blood from Hand of Giants. That is a great one. And, you know, and Michael, I know you're aware of this. Of course, the folks that have been following along with our show are aware. We record these sessions usually a week or two before they're going to hit air. We're recording this session right before the Independence holiday weekend. I guarantee you we're going to shake some people up at the beach when that song comes on.
That's great, man.
Our Bose is going to be rocking on that one.
That's going to be belonging to Muskegon. So those that's coming from there.
Great. Thanks, you guys. That's awesome.
Hey, thank you, Michael Kreppel, Hand of Giants. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is a lot of fun.
All smiles, man. I'm just like, this is a great show, great time. You guys are great.
Well, we appreciate everything you shared with us tonight too. I know not always the easiest thing to do, but man, I'm sure there's some souls out there that have been helped as a result. So thank you so much.
We're trying.
All right. Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up next?
Yes, returning is Alan Turner. Wait till you hear his new music.
Yes, we're looking forward to that.
Cool.
That is a wrap on this evening's show. And I thank one more time Michael Kreppel from Hand of Giants. Thank you, sir.
Thank you guys very much.
Hey, everybody out there, we appreciate all of your support. You guys have been fantastic to us. If you know more bands like Hand of Giants that you'd like us to be talking to, drop us an email, vehiclecitysound@gmail.com is your best way to get a hold of us. You want to know where we're going to be? We're going to be stirring up some trouble here in these next couple of weeks. Our schedule and everything Vehicle City Sound is on our website, and that's vehiclecitysound.com. Thank you so much for what everybody's done, and hey, do good things.